From NPR News, this is special coverage of the New Hampshire primary of 2012. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Alyssa Block.
Thank you, New Hampshire. Tonight we made history.
Mitt Romney claims victory in New Hampshire.
Early returns give the former Massachusetts governor a more than 10-point lead, and NPR now projects Texas Congressman Ron Paul will win the race for second place.
One Paul advisor tells us he's very pleased with the results tonight.
The next one now is South Carolina. That's where focus is. But we'll be players in Florida. We have a strong ground game there. This is going to be a little more of a marathon than most pundits are saying, this run for the nomination.
And we're projecting former Utah Governor John Huntsman in the number 3 slot tonight. This is special coverage of the New Hampshire primary from NPR News.
I'm Alyssa Block, and we're going now to Ron Paul in Manchester, New Hampshire, where we project he has won second place.
And Jordan Braun, he was fantastic. But there was one other acknowledgement I wanted to make. I wanted to thank the union leader for not endorsing me. Now, I called Governor Romney a short while ago before he gave his talk and congratulate him because he certainly had a clear-cut victory, but we're nibbling at his heels. But there was another victory tonight. He had a victory, but we have had a victory for the cause of liberty tonight. There is no doubt that this whole effort that we are involved in will not go unnoticed, let me tell you. I think the intellectual revolution that's going on now to restore liberty in this country is well on its way, and there's no way they're going to stop the momentum that we have started. And that is the victory that you have brought about because you have been the ones that have done the works. There's a lot of people here, but the ones across the countries, the donors, and the excitement on the campuses, it's just unbelievable. We don't always get the coverage or the interest shown on what is going on because if they did, they wouldn't be ignoring so much of what we're doing. But, you know, I find it sort of fascinating when they finally get around, and this is different people. It could be in the media. It could be our opponents or whatever. But I sort of have to chuckle when they describe you and me as being dangerous. That's one thing they are telling the truth, because we are dangerous to the status quo of this country. Remain a danger to the Federal Reserve System as well. Yes. And the Fed, right, and the Fed. Yeah. You know, in studying monetary history from the beginning of our country and even throughout all of history, monetary policy on periodic occasions will become the dominant issue. And we have emphasized that, and it has become an important issue. Just think, this is the first presidential campaign that the subject ever came up since the Federal Reserve was started. So we are now... Because of what is happening, it will remain a dominant issue. There's no way they're going to put it to bed because they have destroyed our money. It's worldwide. There's a financial crisis going on, and it's only sound money and personal liberty that can solve the crisis that we have today.
Texas Congressman Ron Paul, the second-place finisher in today's New Hampshire primary, raising what was the great issue of 19th-century politics in America, what the money system should be. As he said, it hasn't been a big issue since the days of Woodrow Wilson when the Federal Reserve was created, and he thinks it's an issue again. NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson is here. Ron Paul made a joke there about the New Hampshire Union leader, thanking them for not endorsing him.
Right, the union leader, the great bastion of conservatism in New Hampshire, and they endorsed Newt Gingrich, and Ron Paul is saying, I did very well without you, thank you.
Got at least twice as many votes as Congressman Gingrich.
Yep, and he says he'll continue, and Ron Paul has a very committed army of supporters, and you heard them chanting President Paul. He has a lot of places he can go with his very good grassroots organization, a lot of states that hold caucuses where he thinks he can do well. And there's been some talk that what he really wants is to exact some changes in the platform in Tampa this summer, and depends on how many delegates he has. But it sounds like he's not interested in a third-party bid, but he is interested in getting something for his good showing.
Well, that was Ron Paul making his speech. As he said, he spoke with former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, who also gave address. He's the big winner in New Hampshire today. That was Mara Liasson, and this is a New Hampshire primary special coverage from NPR News. From NPR News, it's live coverage of the New Hampshire primary. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Mitt Romney is the winner tonight, and already he's turning his attention to the next Republican primary.
Tonight we're asking the good people of South Carolina to join the citizens of New Hampshire and make 2012 the year he runs out of time.
He, of course, is President Obama, and tonight in New Hampshire, Mitt Romney sounded very much like a general election candidate. His victory speech focused almost entirely on criticizing the man currently in the White House. Votes are still being counted, but NPR is also projecting that Ron Paul has taken second place and John Huntsman third place. In this hour, we'll be hearing from our reporters in New Hampshire, from analysts, and from surrogates for the campaigns.
Now a surrogate for the Romney campaign. Representative Charlie Bass, Republican congressman from New Hampshire's 2nd District, is joining us from Manchester. Congressman Bass, a very impressive showing by Governor Romney. Is the nomination his right now?
I don't think the nomination is his until he gets the number of delegates he needs to, and or the other candidates withdraw. But it is certainly a record of sorts, as I'm sure you've talked about, winning both Iowa and New Hampshire, gives him a decent bit of momentum going into North Carolina, South Carolina. He looks like he's ahead there. He's just got to keep his eyes on the horizon, talk about the bigger issues, and talk about winning in November.
Newt Gingrich says that Governor Romney is going to have to come out and hold a big news conference and account for the record at Bain Capital, especially at the company that Speaker Gingrich raises questions about. Does he have to do that?
Well, I have two comments. First of all, don't you wish, Newt, and secondly, fat chance. The reality is that there'll be plenty written about Bain Capital. You know, it's interesting that Governor Romney, who has spent a considerable amount of his life in the private world trying to create businesses that employ people, gets criticized for those businesses that don't work out. And there'll be plenty of examination of these issues. It's good, I think, in my opinion, to get it all out in the open and talk about it now, because by the time the Democrats pound on it, which will probably be tomorrow, but also later on in the year, hopefully they'll be old and they'll be worn out.
Well, then why not get it out in the open by having Governor Romney address the issue in some public forum? He's hearing from his Republican opponents words like vulture capitalism and corporate raiders.
Well, I think it's a disappointing that Republicans now, in order to get their foot up on another rung in the ladder, are coming out now as opponents of free enterprise. And if there are issues associated with Bain Capital, they will be well aired by the press.
Well, you know, they say it's not capitalism, it's not free enterprise, it's the kind of capitalism that Governor Romney was practicing at Bain Capital.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the kind of thing that it's predatory politics, really, because they're sure. Look, I'm a businessman myself. I've been in manufacturing and other things. And when I was on the ballot last year, my opponents accused me of doing every conceivable dastardly thing under the sun. Mm-hmm. And it's a sad day in America when people who are actually earning a living, making payrolls, making companies bigger and successful and hiring people, can't win for public office because they take risks with their money and other people's money, and sometimes it doesn't work out, and people get laid off, and that's what this story is about.
Well, Representative Bass, thanks a lot for talking with us.
You're very welcome.
Evening. It's Charlie Bass, a New Hampshire congressman who endorsed Governor Romney, and Governor Romney's the winner today. Melissa?
And we're going now to Rick Santorum, campaign headquarters in Manchester, and to NPR's Don Gagne. Don, any word yet from former Senator Santorum?
We are waiting. We are waiting. There are people filling in, but no word yet on the timing, at least.
Don, what sense are you getting from supporters there? I mean, we're looking now at Rick Santorum coming in maybe fourth, but probably fifth in New Hampshire after that quite close finish, a second place finish in Iowa. Disappointing result, but what do they think as they head toward South Carolina?
Certainly a disappointment here. They would very much like to have been in fourth place by a wide margin and not be looking at possibly fifth place. But what they say is the deck was kind of stacked against them here. That's their take. The union leader endorsed Newt Gingrich. Mitt Romney, of course, is a neighbor of New Hampshire and had a lot of money to spend, and that it was obviously a very kind of low budget campaign for them. They didn't spend money here. That was their choice, obviously. They didn't have a lot of money, but they came here after Iowa on a high, and what they do feel they accomplished is that they got a lot of attention. They were at 2% in the polls here right around Christmas, and they finish at 10%. They see that as a surge. Obviously, it's a surge that might land him in fifth place. But they readily say South Carolina is going to be much friendlier terrain for someone with Rick Santorum's resume. He'll be able to talk about the social issues there, abortion and same-sex marriage, without getting into arguments with people as he did at town hall after town hall here this past week.
Let me ask you, Don, as you talk to Rick Santorum's supporters, social conservatives, religious conservatives in Iowa, evangelicals, are they saying if Mitt Romney is the eventual nominee, is he someone that they can rally behind? Do they have any enthusiasm for him as the nominee if he is in fact the nominee?
They don't see him as the eventual nominee. They know this was a good night for Mitt Romney, but they see it as like a hometown win for him. There is a sense, if there's frustration, that there are too many real conservatives, as they would call them, in the race. They'd love to see someone else drop out. That's not going to happen, obviously, before South Carolina, it doesn't appear. But, I haven't put the question directly to people today, will you support Mitt Romney? But I can tell you that over months of reporting, that you do get a reluctant yes when you pose that direct question to people, because at that point the choice is someone like Mitt Romney or Barack Obama. But again, that's not a question they want to entertain tonight.
Okay. NPR's Don Gagne at Rick Santorum headquarters in Manchester. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Rick Santorum now polling just under 10% of the voters. 40% of the precincts have reported in New Hampshire. Mitt Romney, the winner, is carrying over 37% of the vote so far. Ron Paul in second with 23% and some change. And John Huntsman just a bit over 16%. We're going to go now to Huntsman headquarters, where reporter Tovia Smith is. Do they figure the glass is 16% full or 84% open at the Huntsman headquarters?
And they'll drink that. They are, I was thinking, Rob, they're sweating here not because they're nervous in any way. They say that they've really already won by beating expectations. But they're definitely sweating here because it is so, so, so crowded, because they booked this very tiny restaurant before they surged in the last couple of days. But people here are saying they're happy. They were down in spirits a week ago, not just down in the polls, but down in spirits. They're happy now. They're counting this as a victory, as I said. One volunteer told me she was kind of nearly in tears today of joy. She came from D.C. to work for Huntsman a month ago, and she said that finally people are seeing what I've seen. This is her speaking from the start. People get it now, she said. As far as what the campaign is saying, it looks like they're kind of getting ready to come out sometime soon. They've divided a corridor, a small one in the crowd, so they may be fixing to bring him out soon. The campaign says they were never looking for a really place finish, a specific place, but just strong enough to show momentum and viability. And they're saying they're definitely going on to South Carolina. They're bringing with them, no doubt, these new signs that they had printed with their slogan that seems to be resonating, the country first. They had printed up today. Literally, they had them printed today. I'm not sure if that was at Staples or not. but they were printed new today.
Right. Okay, Tovia, thank you.
That's, thanks, Robert.
NPR's Tovia Smith at Huntsman headquarters. And Melissa, of course, the reference, Country First, is to Governor Huntsman's comeback in the Sunday morning poll that he served President Obama as ambassador to China because
he
will always put country first. He hadn't answered quite so pointedly on Saturday night when the accusations
and a message
made.
That seemed to resonate with New Hampshire voters.
Drew some applause in the hall and some positive reaction outside the hall.
Again, let's recap the results that we've been reporting here. Mitt Romney projected the winner in New Hampshire. Ron Paul in second, John Huntsman in third, and then Newt Gingrich, Rick Santorum just about tied for fourth. Rick Perry way back in the pack, less than 1% at this point, with about, 43% of precincts reporting. Let's go once again to E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and Matt Continetti, contributing editor with the Weekly Standard. We were listening earlier to Ron Paul's second place speech, sounding very much like a victory speech, really. And earlier, thinking back to Mitt Romney's speech, Mitt Romney referring once again to Ronald Reagan's Shining City on the Hill. And as we mentioned earlier, very much of a general election theme to that speech. E.J. Dionne, the campaign as it moves forward from here.
Well, I was so struck by Ron Paul's use of the term intellectual revolution. I mean, you don't really hear conventional politicians say that's what this campaign is about. And I was struck that there's so much energy in the Paul campaign, in part because of the economic downturn and the financial collapse. And it's the sort of collapse where you would expect a kind of resurgence of left-of-center thinking, of social democratic kind of thinking. And for the time being, partly because of Democrats in the White House, what you're seeing instead is all this intellectual energy on the sort of far libertarian right. Getting back to the world of real politics, mm-hmm. if I could, or more down-to-earth politics, Huntsman did well, but he needed, I think, to do better. And I actually thought he had a shot at beating Paul. I thought he would come in second. And he's looking like he's 5 to 7 points behind Paul. And as Robert suggested, he clicked in that second debate. And I think mm-hmm. he caught people's attention. But you look at this base that he has in this vote in New Hampshire, it's a pretty, relatively speaking, liberal group of people. Now, Governor Ridge, who spoke earlier, was right when he said he's got a lot of good establishment support, some real politicians in South Carolina. But this kind of message that worked in New Hampshire is not going to work in the same way in South Carolina.
And Matt Continetti, if John Huntsman was looking for the market-moving event that he was talking about from New Hampshire, it doesn't look like he got it today.
No, not at all. I mean, the story in both Iowa and New Hampshire seems to be Romney and Ron Paul, right? That's the common thread link. And you have Rick Santorum took a real shellacking in the polls. And the question with Ron Paul is, how does the GOP respond? How does Ron Paul respond with all these children's crusades, whether it's Gene McCarthy in 68, Howard Dean in 2004? They eventually become integrated into the party and 4 years later end up taking it over to some degree. I don't think that's going to happen with the Ron Paul voters, but there's no question they could also exact a cost if they left.
Matt Continetti, contributing editor with the Weekly Standard, E.J. Dionne with the Washington Post, as we continue our special coverage of the New Hampshire primary of 2012. You're listening to special coverage from NPR News. From NPR News, this is live special coverage of the New Hampshire primary. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. A reminder of where we stand, NPR is projecting that Mitt Romney has won the first-in-the-nation New Hampshire primary. Speaking tonight in New Hampshire, the former Massachusetts governor took aim at President Obama.
This election is a choice between two very different destinies. President Obama wants to fundamentally transform America. We want to restore America to the founding principles that made this country great.
Yeah. Mitt Romney has now won both the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primary, and NPR is projecting that Ron Paul has taken second tonight and John Huntsman has won third. Earlier this hour, Ron Paul spoke to his supporters.
I think the intellectual revolution that's going on now to restore liberty in this country is well on its way, and there's no way they're going to stop the momentum that we have started.
Congressman Paul at his campaign headquarters at the Executive Court Banquet Facility in Manchester, New Hampshire. That's where NPR's Robert Smith has been this evening as well. That's an enthusiastic crowd Ron Paul has.
It is a very, very enthusiastic crowd. And I tell you what, I've never seen anything quite like this. Before Ron Paul came up to speak, the intro music they used was the Imperial March from Star Wars, which is the song that heralds Darth Vader. And then Ron Paul comes up and he says, hey, they call us dangerous. You know what? We are dangerous. Dangerous to the status quo. I mean, that sums up the kind of speech that he was giving here tonight.
What's your sense among the people who are there at Paul headquarters? What is your sense of what it is about Ron Paul that has most galvanized his supporters?
Oh, it's hard to choose because everyone has their sort of Ron Paul moment. You know, he's a man of many complexities. I would say the number one thing I hear is that he is consistent. He does not change. The number two thing I hear is that, you know, he speaks the truth about the banks and the Federal Reserve, that kind of thing. But, you know, this is really interesting, Robert. The single most popular thing that is cited is when Ron Paul took on Rudy Giuliani 4 years ago in the debates. There was a YouTube moment there where they fought about what caused 9/11, whether the United States was responsible in some way for 9/11. And that moment is cited by so many people here as this sort of political awakening for them. Like, who is this guy Ron Paul taking on America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani, about 9/11? And it's funny that has, 4 years later, still travels. People still refer to that as this galvanizing moment for them.
How significant is the issue of legalizing marijuana to that crowd there?
Oh, you don't like to stereotype, but but looking around, I think the occasional person here enjoys smoking. I mean, people mention that, but it's funny. I talk to young people, and I've said straight to young people who support Ron Paul, I'm like, come on, it's the dope, isn't it? It's the dope. And they say, no, it's the Austrian economics, and they pull out a constitution from their pocket. And, you know, I got to say, when they're actually holding a book written by Ludwig von Mises, you kind of got to believe him. You got to believe him.
All right. NPR's Robert Smith at Ron Paul headquarters in Manchester. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
With that trenchant political analysis from Ron Paul headquarters in Manchester. And now to Jennifer Donahue, a political analyst. She's now a public policy fellow at the Gettysburg College Eisenhower Institute, but was in New Hampshire for years as the former political director of the New Hampshire Institute of Politics at St. Anselm College. Jennifer Donahue, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Curious whether, when you look at the electorate in New Hampshire this time around and how these votes are shaping up with Ron Paul doing quite a bit better than he did 4 years ago, do you see a New Hampshire Republican primary electorate that seems different to you than what you've seen before?
You know, it does seem different to me. I think one thing is that in this race, of course, independents were choosing only between Republican candidates. And I think there's been a movement in New Hampshire towards a libertarian streak in the Republican Party. We're seeing that in the results with Ron Paul's strong second-place finish. He had a lot of enthusiasm at his rallies. Ron Paul had more enthusiasm at his rallies than Mitt Romney has had, but Romney, of course, with a commanding first-place lead. And now it looks like Huntsman did not get the number of independents that Ron Paul did.
And as we've been pointing out through the evening, this is history-making in the sense that no Republican non-incumbent has won both in Iowa and then in New Hampshire. New Hampshire has had somewhat of a record of picking candidates who did not go on to become the nominee, if you go back to Pat Buchanan and John McCain in 2000. But this time around, obviously, Mitt Romney, the candidate from next door, do you assume that New Hampshire has voted with the eventual nominee here?
Well, to be honest with you, I think it's going to be hard for anybody to stop him. I think Ron Paul is a movement candidate. He's someone who will stay in the race for his ideas alone, and he'll get some traction. But I think the peak of his traction was just received tonight. I think Huntsman is going to have a difficult time going forward. He doesn't really have the resources. He needed a second-place finish. I think Gingrich and Santorum, right now tied at about 10%, really needed to break out of the pack. They're fighting against each other. What Romney wants to see is for all of these people to stay in for as long as possible. He wants them bloody but not dead so that he can split the alternative vote to Romney, keep that going. And you've got to say a 37% finish, just about what McCain got 4 years ago, is a pretty strong finish for Romney.
Okay, Jennifer Donahue, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Jennifer Donahue, Public Policy Fellow at the Gettysburg College Eisenhower Institute.
Now to NPR's Ron Elving, our senior Washington editor who's up in Manchester. Ron, again, we see Mitt Romney running a strong first, Ron Paul in second. We just heard one judgment that John Huntsman's third place probably isn't enough to keep him alive, to keep him viable. What do you make of what's happened this evening?
First off, I'm struck that Mitt Romney is sitting right on the number that John McCain got here 4 years ago. He has not risen above that number, but he has not fallen below it, and it was one of the standards by which we were judging him. He is right now, with half the vote in, 5 percentage points better than he, Mitt Romney, ran behind John McCain 4 years ago. So he's had enough of an improvement. He's moved up into the John McCain slot, if you will, and that has a certain value and has a certain meaning for them. I think his campaign has to say that they succeeded here, even if not in an overwhelming fashion. Ron Paul in second place is not a particularly close second. For a while there, it looked like he might be closer to Mitt Romney than he was to John Huntsman, but that does not appear to be finally the case. It looks like he's going to fall back just a little bit. And then there's John Huntsman, who needed either to be second or nearly second. And for a while, we thought it might be very close and he might be close to a tie for second, but that is not the way the results are actually coming in. That was a bit of a pipe dream for Huntsman, and so I think he's on the bubble.
I'll add one more bubble that Mitt Romney is on. Just about half of the almost half of the precincts have reported the raw vote total. The percent that Mitt Romney is polling is up there with John McCain from 4 years ago. The raw vote total is just under 37,000 votes. 4 years ago, Mitt Romney polled 75,675 votes. So he's awfully close to the same number that he got in New Hampshire last time around.
That's right. It's typical of the New Hampshire leader, and it's going to put him in sort of a John McCain slot, which is a very good place to be if you want to be the nominee, but not necessarily if you want to be elected president.
Thank you, Ron. It's Ron Elving, senior Washington editor for NPR, and this is special coverage of the New Hampshire primary from NPR News.
From NPR News, this is special coverage of the New Hampshire primary. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Mitt Romney holds on to his frontrunner status.
You know, tonight we celebrate, tomorrow we go back to work.
It's Ron Paul in second, John Huntsman third in today's Republican primary.
You're listening to special coverage of the New Hampshire primary from NPR News.
And we're going to go now to New Hampshire and to the headquarters of John Huntsman, where he is addressing his supporters again, as we've been reporting. John Huntsman coming in third in New Hampshire tonight.
You know what else we got done during this great 7 months where we've had at least 170 public events in this great state? 170 public events. No one even came close. We had conversations about the importance of putting this country first, ladies and gentlemen. Because the people... Because the people of this great nation, the greatest nation that ever was, they're tired of being divided. They want leadership that will stand up and tell us all that first and foremost, we need to come together as Americans in order to solve our problems. We need a president, ladies and gentlemen, who's going to stand up and say we have an economic deficit. It's called $15 trillion in debt. This isn't a debt problem. It is a national security problem, and we are not going to leave it to the next generation of Americans, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to stand up, and I want to square with the American people about this. Afghanistan is not our nation's future. And Iraq is not this nation's future. Our nation's future is how prepared we are to rise up as the American people and hit head-on the competitive challenges of the 21st century. You know what I'm talking about? And this is about economics. And this is about education. And this is going to play out over the Pacific Ocean with countries that I have lived in before. And all I can tell you tonight, without any hint of hyperbole, folks, if we don't get our act together at home, we will see the end of the American century by 2050, and we are not going to let that happen, are we? Ladies and gentlemen, we've also been able to get our message out to the people of this great state about a second deficit that we have. It's not an economic deficit, but it is just as corrosive as the economic deficit. It's called a trust deficit. Because the people of the greatest nation that ever was, the United States of America, no longer trust their institutions of power and no longer trust their elected officials. And I say, how did we get to this spot? We are too good as people to be in this hole. We are the most blue sky, problem-solving, can-do, optimistic people on earth, and we're going to get out there, and we're going to address the trust deficit. And it's going to start with Congress, because everybody knows Congress needs term limits. And everybody knows we've got to close that revolving door that allows members of Congress to file right on out to become lobbyists, trading in on their insider information and relationships. And we wonder why there is cynicism, as seen by the American people, toward Congress. No trust. And I say, there is no trust in our wars abroad, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to fix that part. Because I'm going to stand up in front of the American people, and I'm going to say, we have something to show for our 10 years in the war on terror. Something to show for the American people that's mighty important. We have run the Taliban from power. We have upended and dismantled al-Qaeda. They're now in sanctuaries in Waziristan and beyond. Osama bin Laden is no longer around. We've had free elections. We have strengthened civil society and helped the military and helped the police. We have done what this nation can do. It is time to bring the troops home from Afghanistan, ladies and gentlemen.
We've been listening to John Huntsman, who finished third in the New Hampshire primary today, a message to his supporters in New Hampshire strong on foreign policy, saying we need to come together as Americans. And John Huntsman telling his supporters, I'd say third place is a ticket to ride. In other words, a ticket out of the New Hampshire primary. You're listening to special coverage from NPR News. From NPR News, this is special coverage of the New Hampshire primary. I'm Melissa Block.
I'm Robert Siegel, and here's Ron Paul's assessment of Mitt Romney's victory tonight.
I called Governor Romney a short while ago before he gave his talk and congratulate him because he certainly had a clear-cut victory, but we're nibbling at his heels.
Ron Paul has taken second place in New Hampshire, and NPR projects that third place will go to John Huntsman. These results, a clear sign of the more moderate voters in New Hampshire compared to the Republicans who took part in the caucuses last week in Iowa.
And let's go now to NPR's national political correspondent, Mara Elias. And Mara, we were just listening to John Huntsman's speech earlier. We heard from Ron Paul and also from Mitt Romney, the victor in New Hampshire. Very different messages we're hearing from these three men. What do you take away?
Well, Mitt Romney feels confident that he's going to be the nominee. He has run a general election strategy almost all along, but tonight it was really clearly in evidence where he kept his sights focused on Barack Obama, and the speech was criticizing him. He did have a moment where he addressed the criticisms he's been getting from Newt Gingrich about his tenure at Bain Capitalism. He says it's a real mistake for our party when you foment resentment of success. Ron Paul was a happy warrior tonight.
Mm-hmm. Very happy warrior.
Say he's nibbling at Governor Romney's heels. He came in second in Iowa. There were two ties for first place. He's second again in New Hampshire, and he's going to keep on going on. And he seems to think that his policies, what he calls his intellectual revolution, whether it's ending the Fed or legalizing marijuana or bringing all the troops home from everywhere, really has a constituency. He did create one. I don't know if it's a constituency that exists inside the Republican Party, but they certainly exist on college campuses wherever he goes, and among libertarians. John Huntsman, you'd have to say this is a disappointing finish. I think he needed to do second here to really get any kind of momentum to go forward and to be able to raise the money. I don't really know where he goes from here. I think he put everything on New Hampshire. It didn't work out. He says he's going forward to South Carolina and Florida, but it remains to be seen if he can really survive.
And one big question as we do move forward, Mara, would be, is this message that Newt Gingrich has been pounding Mitt Romney on about his tenure at Bain Capital, is this predatory capitalism, does that resonate with voters? It didn't seem to in New Hampshire.
Well, that's a really good question. What Newt Gingrich is doing is not saying that he laid people off and that's what was bad. He's saying that when a company goes bankrupt and the investors make a tremendous amount of money and all sorts of people lose their jobs, there's something wrong there. He's saying that's undermining capitalism.
Yeah.
Capitalism is where you take a risk, and if it fails, you lose some money. If it succeeds, you make some money. But somehow it seemed like the game was rigged for some of these Bain companies. So I think it's a powerful critique. It didn't seem to move votes in New Hampshire. We'll see if it works in South Carolina. But it is important because it's going after the central argument that Mitt Romney is making for himself to be president. And that's why it's important. Whether or not it helps Newt Gingrich or not, I think it's going to wound Mitt Romney, even if the wounds don't show up before he gets nominated.
That message being, I am a successful businessman, I know how to create
right.
jobs. NPR's Mara Eliason, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Newt Gingrich is locked in a race for fourth place this evening with Rick Santorum. They're both just under 10% of the vote so far, with more than half of the precincts reporting. And our Andrea Seabrook is at Gingrich headquarters. Andrea, Newt Gingrich has been very public over the last 24, 48 hours, being very critical of Mitt Romney, but he hasn't made a very strong showing this evening in New Hampshire.
No, it doesn't seem like it. And in fact, the ballroom I'm in right now, which is Newt's, you know, election night headquarters here in New Hampshire, is about half full. There's this cover band, very loud, seeming to make a big point of being very excited when the crowd is kind of subdued. We do know that he is in the building and on his way sometime very soon to the stage here. I just saw Secret Service detail walk past. That's a good sign. And, you know, the crowd, though, has been watching the other speeches. They watched the Mitt Romney speech with, you know, nary a cheer in the crowd. It was just sort of dull watching it. In fact, there are a few people walking around with anyone but Mitt signs.
Just one question, Andrea. Do his supporters seem to be in tune with Newt Gingrich on the criticisms of Bain Capital and Governor Romney's record?
Yeah, well, the biggest thing that people say to me, people who support Newt Gingrich, is if a candidate is going to crumble, if they're going to not be able to beat Obama, then they better crumble now rather than in September or October. And that is seems to be Newt's biggest point right now. In fact, surpassing his own platform of what he would do. It's more sort of become an anti-Romney campaign at this point.
Okay. Thank you, Andrea.
Yes.
NPR's Andrea Seabrook speaking to us from Gingrich headquarters, where she said they would expect to see the candidate, she thinks, pretty soon.
And we're going now to a key Mitt Romney supporter, former New Hampshire Governor John Sununu. Governor Sununu, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. How are you tonight?
I'm fine, thank you. Did your candidate defy your expectations tonight, coming in just about 37% of the vote last time we checked, about half of the precincts reporting so far?
He came in just about where we expected. I've often said that I thought this was going to be very similar to the numbers that we got in 1988 for George Herbert Walker Bush, which was a 38-29 victory over Bob Dole. I think we're going to have an even bigger margin than that in about the same range.
Let me ask you about one of the critiques that's been launched at Mitt Romney, and in particular from the New Hampshire Union Leader, which came out and endorsed Newt Gingrich. Doesn't seem to have done the former speaker much good. They asked this: will the people of New Hampshire vote to give Obama the nominee he can most easily caricature as an out-of-touch one-percenter, indifferent to the concerns of the middle class? Does that argument, do you think, gain traction among voters with the recent attacks by his fellow Republicans?
Well, frankly, I think that description applies to Newt Gingrich more than it applies to Mitt Romney.
An out-of-touch one-percenter?
Yeah, you know, taking $1.5 million from Fannie Mae and taking in $37 million in fees and being part of the Washington elite, I think it really does. So I think Newt Gingrich's problem were manifest to the people of New Hampshire. They voted quite overwhelmingly for Mitt Romney, and he's going to go on to South Carolina now and consolidate on a state-by-state basis and will end up, in my opinion, as the nominee of the party and will beat Obama.
Let me ask you how you think Mitt Romney does consolidate, as you say, in South Carolina, which has a much more conservative electorate than what we saw today in New Hampshire.
Well, the early polls in South Carolina are pretty good. He talks about his very conservative record as governor. He actually governed as a very conservative Republican. He cut, he found a $3 billion deficit, and he truly cut spending to reduce that deficit and truly cut spending, didn't just slow the growth down without raising taxes and without borrowing. He cut taxes 19 times. He kept Massachusetts out of the greenhouse cap and trade greenhouse gas initiative, and on the social issues, when the research lobby tried to pressure and get the definition of when life starts, he stood with the Right to Life folks and vetoed that bill. And when the Massachusetts Supreme Court came down with its single-sex marriage decision, he stood with the traditional family values folks and the traditional marriage folks and arranged things so that Massachusetts would not become a magnet and a haven for all the single-sex marriages in the country. So he has stood firmly on the economic issues as a conservative Republican, and he stood firmly on the social issues.
His opponents, of course, Governor Sununu, will paint Mitt Romney as a flip-flopper on many of those same issues that you just raised. We probably don't have time to go into your defense on that, but I appreciate your being with us. Thank you so much. That's Governor John Sununu, the former governor of New Hampshire.
Well, now we're going to hear from an advisor and supporter of Congressman Ron Paul. That's Doug Weed, a presidential historian who joins us by phone from Washington, D.C. Here's one interpretation we've heard of the congressman's pretty strong second-place showing this evening, which is, yes, he did very well, but he's a movement candidate. He's capped. He's unlikely to ever. He just can't challenge for the nomination. Perhaps he can influence the platform. What do you think of that?
Well, it ain't easy being green. we've had all kinds of caps put on us, and it's pretty clear now from exit polls, both in New Hampshire and Iowa, that Ron Paul has struck a chord. He leads among independent voters. He leads among youth voters. There's no way that the Republican Party can defeat Barack Obama without this third leg to the stool.
He leads among young voters in New Hampshire, but he doesn't seem to do any better with independents than Mitt Romney did tonight.
Well, I'm comparing both races. I'm comparing Iowa and New Hampshire. He did as well as Mitt did with independents, and in Iowa, he took 48% of the independents. So he does draw people into the party. Most of those young people, those statistics, I knew them as people I worked with in Iowa, and I can tell you, seemed like every one of them voted for Barack Obama 4 years ago. So these are votes the Republican Party is going to need, and Ron Paul is attracting them.
So those who would think that he has no chance of being on the ticket are underestimating Congressman Paul, you're telling me.
Well, they really are, and the numbers will show it. For example, the NBC Marist poll, the ABC Washington Post poll, just any of them, Rasmussen, all of those polls, they will ask the question, who do you think will win the nomination? Or they'll say, who do you think has the best chance to win the nomination? We do very poor in those those polls.
But they do. But you do well with support.
When they ask, who would you vote for, Barack Obama or Ron Paul, we do better than every Republican except Mitt Romney, and we're within the margin of error with Mitt Romney.
On that note, Doug, I'm going to have to cut you off. I'm sorry. But that's all the time we have. Doug Wheat, okay. Advisor to the Paul Thank campaign, speaking with us once again this week. Melissa?
And now once again to NPR's Mara Liasson here in the studio. Mara, your thoughts? Doug Wheat, they're saying that the Republican Party needs Ron Paul's votes.
Well, they do. I mean, Ron Paul did something in Iowa, at least, that no other candidate did, which is he expanded the Republican electorate. He brought in new voters. A lot of them were young. A lot of them had never voted before. That's usually a good thing. The question is, are these voters Republicans or potential Republicans, or are they Ron Paul followers? And if he's not on the ballot, would they vote Republican in the fall? I don't know the answer to that question. And I don't know what the Republican Party would have to do to keep these people in the fold, because the kinds of things that Ron Paul stands for, whether it's legalizing marijuana, bringing every single American troop home from overseas, ending the Fed, those are things that the Republican Party, those are way outside the mainstream of the Republican Party. So Ron Paul is a real puzzle. He does have a constituency. He certainly found it in New Hampshire with a lot of libertarians, and he will be able to do well in a couple other states. But I don't know how the Republican Party absorbs the Ron Paul grassroots army.
Supporters, vocal supporters, and very passionate supporters in New Hampshire. Mara, thanks so much. That's NPR's national political correspondent, Mara Liasson. You're listening to special coverage of the New Hampshire primary. Again, Mitt Romney, the clear victor in New Hampshire. Ron Paul coming in second. John Huntsman, third. You're listening to special coverage from NPR News.
From NPR News, this is live coverage of the New Hampshire primary. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Tonight, Mitt Romney became the only non-incumbent Republican ever to win both the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primary. And tonight, he set his sights on winning the whole thing.
We still believe in the hope, the promise, and the dream of America. We still believe in that shining city on a hill. We know that the future of this country is better than 8 or 9% unemployment. It's better than $15 trillion in debt. It's better than the misguided policies and broken promises of the last 3 years.
Mitt Romney there taking on President Obama in his victory speech in New Hampshire. And a reminder of the other results tonight, Ron Paul has won second place and John Huntsman is in third.
Andrew Kohut, president of the Pew Research Center, is in the studio with us, and he's been poring over the exit polls all evening. What strikes you?
Well, what strikes me are some really interesting puzzles in the issue voting data. Romney voters said that personal qualities were more important than issues, but Romney clearly won the most important issue by a big margin, 2-1, among people who said they were interested in the economy. Now, with respect to the deficit, Ron Paul did pretty well in the deficit, but he only Romney tied him. 31% of the deficit voters picked Paul, 31% Romney. The other thing that stands out is if you compare that to Iowa. In Iowa, Ron Paul took the lion's share of these deficit voters, and Paul clearly did better among the new voters as he did in Iowa. But only 12% of the he didn't attract this legion of new people. Only 12% of the New Hampshire electorate were first time voters, compared to 38% just a week ago.
In Iowa, 38%. The caucuses were doing it for the first time.
So we really have some very different things. And Ron Paul was also hurt. I'm not trying to downplay his success because he did come in second. But he and Huntsman divided the disaffected vote. About 35% of the people questioned said they wished there were other candidates.
The fact, though, that there were so far fewer first-time voters in the New Hampshire primary than there were first-time caucus goers in Iowa, a Ron Paul supporter could say, look, he competed within more of the traditional Republican primary voters. He did very well without bringing in lots of extraneous new voters.
That's absolutely true. But his strong suit was energizing the base. It didn't happen in New Hampshire. But he did do well among disaffected voters, but Huntsman cut into his margin among that group.
Do war and peace issues show up at all in terms of what motivated voters?
We have a problem here. Foreign policy plays so low a role in this campaign that the people who wrote this exit poll, there's not one foreign policy or security issue on the hold or an exit poll. This is a record.
You mean
foreign policy?
They didn't even ask about it.
But was it an open question, asking people what issues?
No, there are no open questions.
Oh, so the people who made the exit poll didn't ask?
No, and this is the second one in a row where foreign policy.
So we don't know what people thought.
We don't know. We don't know.
Because we didn't ask.
Because it's regarded to not be a key issue.
Well, that would be self-fulfilling prophecy in that case. It may be right, but if you don't ask people, how do you know?
If you don't know.
If you don't know.
You don't know.
Right. But there are the unknowns that we don't know, I think someone said. Andy Kohut of the Pew Research Center, thanks.
You're quite welcome.
And we go now to NPR's Ari Shapiro, who is at the headquarters of the victor in New Hampshire, Mitt Romney. And Ari, we heard just a bit of Mitt Romney's victory speech talking about that Reagan-esque shining city on a hill. Why don't you go through a little bit more of what Mitt Romney's message was to his supporters and to the country tonight?
Boy, he has been talking about Reagan and about President Obama for a long time, but he really ratcheted it up in his victory speech tonight. He has this long list that he went through. The president has run out of ideas. Now he's run out of excuses, he said. He said President Obama wants to put free enterprise on trial. He said this president takes his inspiration from the capitals of Europe. We look to the cities and towns across America. This president puts his faith in government. We put our faith in the American people. These are new lines, and it is a new Mitt Romney that is going very strongly into South Carolina from this win in New Hampshire.
And did it seem to you like a very much more energized Mitt Romney and someone who potentially more Republicans would get enthusiastic about now that he has the wind at his back coming out of New Hampshire?
You know, I cannot tell you how different this felt from 1 week ago when we were sitting in Romney headquarters in Des Moines, Iowa, and hour after hour, it was neck and neck with Rick Santorum. Finally, he came out and gave this speech that we didn't even know whether it was a victory or a concession speech. This was decisive. It was clear. It was exactly what the campaign hoped for. After having been at this 25% ceiling for about the last year, he surpassed that by double digits. They feel really good about what's happening now. I mean, you know, he was in the lead in South Carolina before this win. If this win gives him any boost at all, it's going to be a really huge help.
With the proviso, of course, Ari, that Mitt Romney is very well known in New Hampshire from his time as governor and also a homeower in New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah, totally. this is a completely different state from South Carolina, and his reputation here stretches back for years. People feel like he's a neighbor. But, you know, as you've mentioned, he's the only guy ever to have won Iowa and New Hampshire, the only non-incumbent Republican ever to have won both of those states. So they're feeling really good about that.
And Mitt Romney made that point tonight. We made history, he said to his supporters. NPR's Ari Shapiro at Mitt Romney's headquarters. Thanks so much.
No problem.
NPR's Ron Elving, our senior Washington editor, is in Manchester. Ron, is the way that the Republican nomination, the whole process is set up this year, does it automatically confer such a great advantage on the winner in both Iowa and New Hampshire?
It does not, in part because the delegate count here was de minimis, 12 delegates out of the 1,400 and some odd that there will be. This is not a delegate event. But if you look into March and April and May, that's when the majority of the delegates will be chosen. The field will by then have been winnowed down to one or two at most. I don't think that it really matters when the numerical count comes together. At this point, we're on the Al Davis rule. And in this time of the NFL playoffs, I think we remember the Oakland Raiders owner who used to say, just win, baby. And that's what Mitt Romney did. He won. When he goes to South Carolina, people are going to see him as a winner. When he goes on to Florida, if he wins in South Carolina, they will see him as a winner, and that's what they're looking for.
Is that our first sports metaphor of the evening, Ron?
It may be.
Thank you, Ron.
It may be, Ron. You win that. As we look ahead, in Iowa and New Hampshire, we saw candidates who still did a good deal of retail political campaigning, going to the local diner, the local drugstore, and talking to people and hearing their questions. A little bit of that in South Carolina, perhaps, and by Florida, is it all finished?
There will be more of that in South Carolina, a state that is roughly the size of Iowa, very, very roughly speaking. But we'll see Mitt Romney go out to a few shops. We'll see him in some Cracker Barrel kinds of situations, and he will go out and try to meet ordinary people. But this is really not his strong suit. At times when he's tried to do this in the past, in fact, it's been somewhat disastrous. He's much better as the inevitable nominee, the man who can beat Barack Obama, the man you saw giving that confidence speech here in Manchester tonight. He shouldn't risk that by getting out there and shaking too many hands and trying to make small talk.
So the road to the nomination is well-suited right now to Governor Romney.
He has the money. He has the organization. He has the momentum. No one else is making any sort of a run at looking like a winner here. South Carolina, every year since they first had a primary in the Republican Party in 1980, has voted for the person who eventually became the Republican nominee. That is a record they jealously guard, value, and will not easily give up.
Thank you, Ron. That's NPR's Ron Elving, our Washington editor, speaking to us this evening from Manchester, New Hampshire. This is special coverage of the New Hampshire primary from NPR News.